Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
All right, hello and welcome to the Must Hear Music Podcast. My name is Joe Lynch and I'm sitting here with Jason Lipschutz.
What's up, man?
And Trevor Anderson.
What's going on, guys?
Trevor is from the Charts team. He is a veteran of many a podcast, Periscope, Facebook Live.
Periscope.
But this is his first
throwback
Thursday to the Periscope days. This is his first Must Hear Music Podcast, so welcome. Thanks for coming aboard.
Of course. I guess I'm filling in for Lindsay this week, so big shoes to fill?
She's got pretty small feet.
Size 6 maybe, but I'll make it work.
Size 6. Let's tweet at her. Let's find that out.
Yeah.
So let's start out with this song that just dropped. It's I think this is the no-brainer to start out the podcast with.
Whoa.
You'll get used to Joe's puns. Like, there's
that was an exceptionally bad one.
I work with Gary, so you know I'm well-versed.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's very true.
Shout out to Gary Trust, Billboard Charts team pun greatest of all time champion.
Wow.
Last summer was DJ Khaled, Justin Bieber, Lil Wayne, Quavo, and Chance the Rapper had a song called I'm the One. It went to number one for 1 week, 2 weeks?
Yeah, just one.
DJ Khaled was on our cover.
It's true.
That's fun. And now they're back, minus Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
I guess he was busy. Maybe he had his phone on silent. I don't know.
Maybe it's like kind of like The Bachelor, and DJ Khaled had like three roses this time.
Right.
And
Weezy didn't make the cut this time.
Yeah, you never
Very
know.
Possible.
It's always next time.
Very possible. Yeah.
So like next year, who gets the cut?
Yeah. Oh,
that's a
Yeah, we'll see.
Anyways,
2019.
So they have a new song out. They meaning DJ Khaled featuring Justin Bieber, Chance the Rapper, Quavo. It's called No Brainer. So it just came out. Zayn Lowe debuted it on Beats One.
Yep.
I enjoyed it. Like, I thought,
I
mean, I'll be honest, like, the first one that they all did together was, I would consider it a pretty slight song, but, like, super enjoyable radio background fare. This is kind of the same to me. I like it. I'm not gonna, like, seek it out, but am I gonna be okay with this playing incessantly for the rest of the summer, which is sadly winding down? Like, yeah, I'll be fine with that.
My thing is, I like the fact that it seems like Bieber does a little bit more of the heavy lifting on this one.
Yeah.
Because with I'm the One, he only does the hook. Like,
right.
He does, there's three rap verses, and there's DJ Khaled yelling, and there's a Bieber hook. And I like the fact that they give him a little bit more to do.
Mm-hmm.
It mixes it up a little bit. And, this sound, like, I as soon as I heard this, I tweeted that, like, if DJ Khaled wants to release a summer single with a Justin Bieber hook for 15 straight years, I would be fine with that. Like, that'd be great.
How old would Bieber be at that point?
He'd be probably 40.
I don't know if
there.
I'm okay with that.
Or not 40. How old is he now? 23?
24.
Yeah. So he'd be 39, yeah. Anyway.
I don't know. What do you think about it?
I'm kind of in the same camp. Like, it was a little too close to I'm the One where I felt like, okay, this is, you know, we got the same crew together. We made the same song, more or less. Yeah, I do agree that I did like that Bieber had more to do. I guess that's why Lil Wayne had to get the cut, because it couldn't be a 7-minute song.
Yeah.
I think overall it's like, it's, Gosh, what do I think overall?
I do wish to interrupt. I wish that it had come out a little bit earlier in the summer. It feels like such a I literally was gonna say a no brainer summer single.
Yeah.
But you know, it's late July, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Quavo is hugely busy right now. I guess with Chance and his new songs coming out, maybe just the timing was Justin Bieber getting engaged and everything. I guess the timing may have been a little weird.
Maybe it was that they were waiting for Lil Wayne. Like, they were ready at the top of the summer.
Oh, yeah.
And Wayne kept being like, I got this. Don't worry, guys. And he just kept pushing it back. And they were like, God damn it, Weezy. Like, we're going
to
drop this
Lil
song.
Wayne was like the me, like, when it comes to must-hear music.
100%.
Where you and Lindsay are like, and I'm like, 20 minutes, guys. Don't worry.
I just need another 5 minutes. I'm just going to go grab a snack. Yeah. Like, that was Lil Wayne's last text. He was like, I just need to grab a snack and I'll be right in the studio. And they were like, we're done.
Anyway. Oh, well.
No brainer might as well be called No Wayner, right?
All right.
Did you really? Like, wow. That's quick. Do you think it's a hit? You think it's a hit song?
This is going to be huge.
I see top five, maybe. Definitely top 10, maybe top five. That's my prediction. I do not see this going number one at all.
Ooh. I guess we'll call it. Okay. Jason obviously feels like it does.
Well, you're the charts guy, and I think In My Feelings has like a huge lead right now, but I think in the next 2 months, I could definitely see this going number one. It's just, yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it'll be around. I mean, I'm sure obviously the first Bieber sound we've heard really since Despacito, everyone will be all for, but I kind of wish it had moved the needle a little bit for somebody, but
there we go.
All right, well, let's listen to a bit of it. It's DJ Khaled's No Brainer featuring Justin Bieber, Chance the Rapper, Quavo. She trying to choose between me, Justin Quay, and a sword. She told me that she love that I make music for God. I told her I would let her see that blood. You speak out of the crowd, baby, it's a no-brainer. It ain't the hard to choose. Him or me, be for real, baby, it's a no-brainer. You got your mind on loose. Go hard and watch the sun rise. One night, it changed your whole life. All right, that was No Brainer. Before we move on, I was realizing it's like literally it's 3 years now since the last Justin Bieber album. Purpose.
Yeah, I know.
About to be.
It doesn't seem like that. I mean, because he's had so, you know, obviously Despacito was like dominant, and then he's had all those other scattered hits with
people.
I'm
the One and DJ Snake and Major
Cold
Lazer.
Water and yeah.
Yeah, so. Right. This is actually like 2018's been his quietest year in what, since maybe 2014?
Yeah.
So yeah. Now we got this at
but
least.
God, what does that next Bieber record sound like? That's the like it just
it's I'm gonna sound like a Post Malone record. I feel like it's gonna be like
I think it's gonna be like all moody and
it's gonna be him and you see his Instagram, he's hanging with Post nonstop. I feel like it's gonna be like it'll be like Watch the Throne with Bieber and Post Malone. This is not based on any like intel. I'm just saying, just based on his Instagram, like I could 100% see that happening.
If they did release an album and it was literally called Watch the Throne 2, that would just the audacity of that. Wow.
Oh boy.
All right.
What's next?
Let's move along. Let's talk about Trevor. One of your picks, Macy Gray.
Okay.
Straight to Macy.
Okay. Yeah, we are making a big move.
New Macy Gray. Song is called Sugar Daddy.
Okay. Yeah. So
and hit me, Trevor.
All right. So Sugar Daddy is the new Macy Gray track. If you when you hear it, as Joe kind of instantly realized, it sounds a lot like Meghan Trainor, probably because it was co-written with Meghan Trainor.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
The first thing when I was listening to it, I was like, why does this sound so much like Meghan Trainor? And I was like, oh, she wrote it.
Because it's got like obviously it's got sort of the Trainorism where it takes sort of this one concept and really arcs it around the whole Sugar Daddy. There's like lines about, you know, candy and sweet and sugar, and it's like, I mean, it's almost like if this were a Meghan Trainor song, you could see like the video really is like a Katy Perry kind of like confectionery,
and
that sort of teenage dream era, like California Girls had like all the lollipops and whipped cream and everything.
Totally,
it like
that.
Has that same image. I personally think though with Macy, like it taps into a good market of like, it's on the adult R&B chart, so there's like an adult core audience that I think, like, when you shift it from Meghan Trainor sort of as a teeny boppy kind of song, and you give it sort of that feel with Macy, that I think it adds like a little bit of weight, a little gravity. Mm-hmm. Like there are plenty of people who like I could see getting ready for like, you know, like 30-year-old or whatever going out to like the club, like just getting feeling good, getting dressed up, like feeling yeah. like, yeah, just like feeling themselves with this song. So I think it's a good lesson in particular in like, you know, if Meghan Trainor had put out this song, it might have been like a little character, a little parody. Mm-hmm. Like, really?
Yeah.
But I feel like with someone like Macy, it adds a little spice, little variety to it.
Yeah. I liked this a lot more, and I didn't know about the Meghan Trainor collaboration, but I actually really enjoy this. And you know, obviously, as a card-carrying owner of Macy Gray's On How Life Is featuring...
Yes.
I try and do something.
Vintage.
And several really good songs. You know, she's spent a couple, you know, a long time kind of trying different things. She's done jazz. She's done covers. So, yeah, I enjoy this. Like, if this came up on a playlist, I would be really intrigued and want to hear it again. So, Macy Gray.
Let's go, Macy. What do you think, Joe?
I think, yeah, I mean, in keeping with, you know, having the Meghan Trainor co-write, like, it's very, and what you were saying with the lyrics, like, it's very cute in a way that, you know, I'm charmed by. I like, you know, it's kind of got that, like, more, like, throwback, like, R&B, like, vaguely doo-wop, like, more of a, like, 60s flavor. But, it, you know, Macy keeps it from being a little too light. I think it's a fun track. I liked it. This has nothing to do with anything, but I just want to remind everyone that Macy Gray has a cameo in the first Spider-Man movie.
Oh, of course.
The Green
Square.
Goblin
yeah.
kind of ruins her concert, though. So that was like three Spider-Mans ago, I think. Or maybe
more
two
than
Spider-
that. More than that.
Spider-Men
yeah.
ago.
Oh, yeah. Spider-Men themselves.
Spider-Men
yeah.
themselves. Yeah. yeah.
Like this is like the Tobey Maguire, the
it's
very
the,
first one.
The yeah. very first Tobey Maguire.
Oh, I have to go Netflix that now.
Yeah, she's singing in Times Square, and then the Green Goblin comes in with his pumpkin bombs.
I know.
Wow.
Not the sugar daddy she was looking for.
Very better. Yeah. It's a metaphor, yeah.
And, you know, I mean, missed opportunity to not sample, you know, Shangela talking about sugar daddies and RuPaul's Drag Race. That iconic quote, but nevertheless, good song.
There's still a chance for a remix.
That's
so
true. There's the remix. Yeah. All right. Well, let's listen to it. So Macy Gray's song is called Sugar Daddy, and here it is. All right, that was new Macy Gray, not something we say on every episode of Must Your Music Podcast, so thank you for the left field choice.
I was going to say, that's what Trevor brings to the
that's
show, you
Trevor's
know?
That's what Trevor's bringing to the show. I guess, Jason, let's start with Chainsmokers featuring Emily Warren.
Yeah.
Side Effects.
So this is the big surprise of my day, is that the new Chainsmokers single with Emily Warren. So Emily Warren, frequent collaborator of the Chainsmokers.
Mm-hmm. Didn't she write Don't Let Me Down?
Yeah, I believe I think so. Yeah, she's best known as a songwriter. She's obviously also a vocalist, but she wrote co-wrote New Rules for Dua Lipa. She's written stuff for Fifth Harmony.
Wasn't she on the that Nash song? That like snuck in top 10 for a second.
What, Hey, like, Hey You, I Love
yeah.
You? I'm not sure, but
I don't know.
Yeah. You can check it out. I believe you. She has a lot of songwriting credits. But yeah, so this, more than anything, this is definitely a change up for the Chainsmokers. They've kind of developed this little bit of a downbeat electronic sound. Obviously, Closer is the most symbolic of that, and they've kind of gone from there after that was a huge hit. But this is like a totally like very like brightly colored, almost like European pop feel on this song, and I really like it. Obviously, like if someone played me this song without letting me know who it was by, I would be like, oh, this is right up my alley. But more than anything, I'm really surprised that the Chainsmokers kind of veered into this. It really sounds like kind of like it, like some of my like favorite Norwegian pop stars, and Emily Warren is just kind of, and obviously Emily Warren is still finding her voice as a singer songwriter, or as a singer, at least she's kind of crafting her identity a little bit, but I think this is a great step in the right direction. And yeah, I was pleasantly surprised by this. What did you guys think of this one?
Do you want to weigh in, Trevor?
First of all, I've never had to process music opinions so quickly.
I know,
this
yeah.
Is so,
yeah.
This is like
do,
amazing.
Man.
It kind of reminded me, and I may be completely wrong, but I guess they had a song with Phoebe Ryan a couple years ago after that was kind of, I think that was in the post-Closer era, like the, sort of that first like shift away from sort of the sort of booming,
bit similar to that.
And I know obviously Phoebe and Emily kind of in this, kind of in the same vein. Maybe that's a little too generous, but certainly not the powerhouse vocalist, I guess, that like Halsey or maybe even Daya kind of is. I do agree that, the Chainsmokers are obviously trying to find an interesting lane because dance has really turned in the past couple of years from being, if you want to say, post-ghetto, where it's like all, summertime bounce to something that's a little more interesting and just less overt. Complexity to it. I like the song. I mean, it didn't necessarily grab me, I guess, and I guess to your point, I saw that it was a Chainsmokers song, so I kind of was hoping, because I am a fan of like the sort of the Bouquet EP and Memories Do Not Open, so I was wanting a little more of that.
Yeah, it's definitely a left turn for them, so.
Yeah, I think it's fine. I wouldn't necessarily go out of my way to grab onto it again.
Okay.
I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, I didn't dislike it, but I can't, as a non Norwegian pop super expert, wasn't the catchiest thing to me, and that's what I would expect out of them.
I would say so. It's I'm just gonna keep making that sound. I like it decently. I like that. It's got kind of like this, like kind of immediate like post disco dance flavor, which is a like pretty European thing, like we've been saying.
Yeah.
It's not like, it definitely seems like a kind of a bid for more, I guess, respectability. Like it seems like since Closer, they've been kind of trying to play both sides, like release things that might be hits, but also things that kind of show a little more substance, which, is a sort of career route that we've seen Calvin Harris do, although he started out in a totally different realm. But then, eventually he went like real straightforward EDM, and then with Funkwave tried to kind of do that stuff where like critics and, so-called tastemakers are more respected. And similar to that, this has a real nice, thick, funky bass line. But it's incredible. It's good. Like, I feel like it's, again, this like just came out. It could grow on me.
Yeah.
Emily Warren's voice sounds great. So like, I think she, whether like a songwriter can make that jump into being like a pop star, like there's so many different factors, but like I think it certainly seems like she has the voice for it.
Yeah.
So,
I think to that point about the Chainsmokers, like it's a song I think that if they continue to go in this direction, like they'll improve on. Like it feels like kind of like a trial song to me. Like let's try this out.
I can see that.
And in a couple years, we may not think of it as like obviously one of their biggest hits or whatever, but we may look back and say, okay, this is an important record in the Chainsmokers' career because
like a pivot
it changed
point.
Their kind of like I Knew You Were Trouble for Taylor or somebody where it just
not compare the
well I
mean,
I
think to
so.
Taylor.
But no but I mean in the sense that like if that record had flopped there
right.
would, there would be no 1989
they
wouldn't have let her go that way so I think it's one of those things where it could be a reorienting of the Chainsmokers there they're changing packs
All right.
I don't. Okay.
Packs. Yes. Yeah. No. We're keeping that.
No, that's very Joe Core.
I love
so.
That. Yeah. All right. Chainsmokers, the menthol light version. What does that even mean? I don't know. All right. So it's Chainsmokers featuring Emily Warren. Side Effects. All right, let's do Blood Orange. So this is one of my picks.
Okay.
Song's called Charcoal Baby. So I am a big Blood Orange fan. I love Dev Hynes. The Blood Orange Project is great. I mean, he's hopped and skipped between a bunch of different bands and monikers, and I'm glad that he's sticking with Blood Orange, because I think it's just like a perfect lane, and it's one of those things where like there are other people working in it, but there's honestly not, I feel like, that many people doing it as well as he does. Yeah. And this new one, Charcoal Baby, kind of has, you know, it's all very 80s, but in the more like alt ethereal sense. There's like these brittle, like kind of airy guitar tones, like the drums and the synths are real, like kind of like thick pounding 80s type things. It reminds me a bit of Skritti Politti, who's kind of an underappreciated R&B pop hit maker from mm-hmm. the 80s. Backup vocals are very like what Prince would have women do, singing backup on his songs. So there's just a lot of elements that I like. And all that being said, all that description, it does sound a lot like his other stuff. This isn't really a new lane for him, but...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I enjoy his lane, so I'm happy to.
That is exactly my reaction to the song, which is it sounds exactly like a Blood Orange song. I don't mind that at all, and yeah. That's kind of it. And I've always enjoyed what he's done, and I mean ever since Cupid Deluxe, and I do wish, kind of side note, I wish he produced more. I love when he produces for other artists, but. I guess no. I'm excited. It seems like it's gonna be Blood Orange season soon. Like it's gonna get a little
Blood
cooler.
Season.
Yeah, oh, gonna get a little
that's
cooler.
So accurate.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Get a little bit cooler, and
it's good fall music.
Good fall music.
I'm literally like envisioning like it's like a like Halloween kind of day. Like it's like an overcast.
Get that
kind
pumpkin
of sky,
spice latte.
Like,
yeah, and right. Just listening to that new Blood Orange. No, I really enjoyed this, and I agree that it. It doesn't really swerve into any new lanes for him, but that's fine.
I mean, I agree too. I definitely appreciated the little fade out. It seems like it was gonna like, it kind of just like rides this like nice mm-hmm. groove for like the last 2 minutes, and then it kind of starts to fade out, and then you're like, oh, like that was that maybe about 3 minutes in, you're like, oh, that was kind of like brief, and then it like mm-hmm. revives for like that last 30 seconds, and you're like. Okay, like, you know, you get one, it's like your last bite of food. You're like, okay, I'm going to savor this one because I know this is like the
that,
end of
that
it.
That last sip of pumpkin spice latte.
That's it. It's the best. It's the best sip.
I mean, it's where all the sugar is.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
I'm actually less depressed about summer ending. I'm like, yeah, fall's great.
I love fall.
I love autumn.
I love fall.
Wow, this really got off topic.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's all I have to say about it. So, yeah, and he has a new album coming out. I forget when it's coming out. So,
I think in the fall.
Should have looked that up.
Well, I don't think it's been announced. Right? I don't think it's been announced yet, but I think just generally.
Yeah.
Probably in the fall. So, we'll see.
All right. New song from Blood Orange. It's called Charcoal Baby, and here it is. All right. Next up, let's do Tyga. So we got Tyga
from fall back to summer.
Yeah, rewinding it back to summer. Tyga, who has the audacity to name a song "Swish," but a year after Katy Perry gave us "Swish Swish." I don't know how he's stepping on those
toes. This is a real question. Do you think Tyga is aware or has heard the song Switch Switch by Katy Perry?
I would argue no. It was number one on the charts for 2 years.
It's still number one, actually.
Yeah,
wow,
it's actually still number one. Swept the Grammys. Somehow won the best album category. Everyone's so confused about that.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, so this is Singular Swish.
Yeah, Tyga's Singular Swish. I mean, this is Trevor's pick, so I'm going to toss it to him.
Okay, you know, I like where Tyga is in 2018 in terms of these singles. Taste is obviously a huge hit right now, the song he has with Offset. Gonna say that's a top 10 on the Hot 100 coming up soon.
Yes.
Not because I'm going to manipulate the chart, but simply because
you heard it here first. He's manipulating the charts. Yeah,
I've tried to manipulate the chart to get Tyga number one, but no.
Oh, we got to small steps. But I like the vibe of just like this beach house, like tropical lane that a lot of these like R&B and rap acts have got into. Ty Dolla Sign, obviously, one of the big ones. Even some of the Jeremih kind of sounds. Because I think, you know, the nice thing for me about this whole sort of wave is obviously there's like plenty of people doing like trap and like hard stuff. But you don't have to like that doesn't have to be what rap is. Like rap can be like fun. It can be bouncy.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think the hook, even though it's just like the whisper of taste, is like there's something kind of like just, I don't know, just fun about doing it. Even the word taste, just like taste is like what an underutilized word.
Yeah.
It's like the sense that doesn't get any respect.
Yeah, but this is true. Underused in music.
Yeah.
So I feel like I mean, I like that whole vibe from it, because even with Kyoto, it was a little harder, like in terms of the sound and a lot more minor and key and things like that, which I thought was. Okay, but I think this sort of beach wave is definitely where he needs to be. The success obviously proves that might be the right kind of direction. And I have something that I wrote down that is in pencil, so it's kind of hard to read. to the point about like being a little different. Like even somebody like Cardi, you know, you look at when Bodak Yellow came out and like how just sort of like hard that was.
Yeah.
And people thought, okay, cool, right. But then she turns around and has like, I like it. Like, you know, she can be fun, colorful, like use this sample. So I think for me, taste really is proving that, like for Tyga in particular, like you can, you know, just play around with it. It all works. You don't have to be just one guy, one thing.
Right.
So what about Swish though?
Oh, what about Swish?
Yeah.
Swish in particular. Okay, sorry.
Well, no, that's okay. I mean, so my thing is I love taste. I'm really not sold on Swish.
Okay, I will say that I do think that Swish is a little diminutive of taste.
Yeah.
Like, it may stray a little too close it's kind of a repeat in some ways, but I do like taste, so I'm not mad at the repeat.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of the point I had with that song. True. When I heard it, I was like, you know, if this were the B-side of Taste, I'm still down with it. I still think it's better than probably anything he put out in the past 3 or 4 years. So I'm just glad about that.
Yeah, I like the beat on Swish, but to me it's just like it's interpolating David Banner. It's interpolating Juvenile. Like, it to me, when somebody dropped this in our hip chat room yesterday, I said that it kind of sounds like three songs like Frankenstein together.
It sounds too forced. Or like two.
Yeah,
just,
no,
it,
exactly.
Sure,
it's
it
just
is.
Like you want to. To me, it's just like if you're interpolating just the David Banner part, like cool. But like then it gets into Back That Ass Up, and I don't know. It's just like it's a little too much for me, and I feel like his one liners just aren't like that's part of the appeal to taste to me is not only the beat great, but like he's actually his flow is excellent on taste, and he's like all of his one-liners are like on point and easily digestible. These kind of like start and stop a little bit to me. I don't know.
I didn't think the part
Swish.
like I know obviously like I kind of like especially the part about Back That Ass Up. Like it like gives it a little bit to you, but I don't think it like over relies on it. Like I guess in a way like I feel like with like Nice for What or something, for example, like you know how reliant it is on the Lauryn Hill. Like
yeah,
I feel like it. Toes that line, and obviously like the intention is like you to realize what that song is and you kind of finish it, but I mean to me it wasn't that heavy-handed because it didn't really lean all the way in.
Yeah,
but I can see what you mean.
Joe, any Tyga thoughts?
I mean, yeah, just to take it back to the start, you know, I loved Rack City when it came out, and I cannot say I've been super into or have taken Taiga seriously since then.
That's okay.
But yeah, no, but I mean, Taste was a surprise comeback for him. Swish is like fine. You know, it's, I don't know, it's not super original. Yeah, it's similar to it.
Okay, Taste 2, yeah.
Taste 2, Monsters
of the Age of Ultron.
Aftertaste.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, yeah, like the little like giddy up at the end. I mean, I think it's kind of taking that like that bounce, like Big Frida-esque thing that Drake is kind of like thrust into the mainstream, which has been around for years, but now it's on hit songs. I think that's cool. I mean, it's like good. It's fine. I'm not super sold on either way. I totally agree with you that like this is a good lane for him. I mean, I think it's hard to like enter the kind of like Kardashian Jenner realm when you're someone who doesn't have like an artistic cred of a Kanye West. Like when you enter that realm and all you have is like a couple hits to your name, like you sort of like respectability is like, I don't want to say sabotage forever, but maybe sabotage forever. So yeah, so for him to like do a more fun sound versus like try to sound hard, like totally makes sense. Yeah, I mean, and you know, no disrespect to Kardashians or Jenners, I'm just saying, you know, it's like a, you know, it's like basically like the thing people know about him now is like his name in the tabloids. So yeah, like it makes sense that what he's doing is more fun than trying to like be so quote unquote legitimate or whatever. I mean, yeah, it's fine. You know, it's, do I want to listen to someone saying trying to get your P word wet over and over? Like, not really.
You'd rather listen to another one in the basket.
I would rather listen to Katy Perry try to get
old coupon expired.
Yes, exactly. So tired. All right. But yeah, so that's it. So Taiga, Swish, AKA Taste Part 2, here it is. If you act like you want it, I could put you on it. Too blessed to be stressed, sex in the morning. You can have my t-shirt if you really want it. Trunk in the front, pop that, pop that, pop that, pop, pop, pop that. If I gave you my number, better hold that. And the party going dumb, whole squad max. And I just threw 20 in the strip. Hey, hey, Sizzy on my wrist.
Vicious, vicious, Joe.
That's Joe for you.
Sorry, I'm so sorry, Taiga. All right, next and last and not least, because that would be the previous song. Just kidding.
Poor Taiga.
New Maggie Rogers.
Yeah.
Who, song's called Give a Little. And Jason, this is yours.
Yeah, so I picked this one. People in the Billboard office, for those that don't know, are like really jazzed on Maggie Rogers. I feel like we talk about Maggie Rogers more than like most superstar
artists. We talked about her on this podcast,
artists.
But it was actually not like, I feel like Lindsay was like shading her a bit, wasn't
really?
She? Yeah.
Well, that's why Lindsay's not on this episode, yeah. I guess. I don't know. So obviously, for those that don't know, that aren't in the Billboard office constantly talking about Maggie Rogers, she got famous because there was a video of her like showing off her song Alaska for Pharrell Williams. He loved it and it went viral and the song was really good. He cried. You know, who hasn't cried at Maggie Rogers' Alaska? She's had a couple songs since then that kind of operate in the same vein. But this one is produced by Greg Kurstin of Adele and Sia and Pink fame. And it's really good. It's really strong. And I feel like she's opening up her voice a little bit. I feel like she is kind of showing more to herself than just, you know, you had this kind of alt pop vibe set with her because of Alaska and the follow up singles, but I think this one is a little bit more traditional, and I think that works for her. And you know, I think that more than anything, like, is this song as strong as Alaska or as striking? I don't think so. I don't think she would even admit that, or I think she would admit that, but I think that getting her to a more well-rounded place as a singer-songwriter is ultimately to her benefit. So yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, I really like Alaska a lot. The stuff that followed it, I enjoyed, maybe not quite as much. But yeah, I mean, the thing I think that's interesting about this for me, about Give a Little, is that it seems a little more commercially minded. Like,
yeah.
I don't think it's less interesting at all, but it has a little, well, you know, Greg Kurstin worked on it, so there's a little more production sheen. It's a little more accessible. Like, it's, you know, you listen to it one time and you kind of get it immediately.
Right.
Yeah.
Has a little bit of that tropical bounce going on. I'd be very curious to see if like she has like a shot on the charts. I mean, I guess we can turn to Trevor.
Hey,
you know?
Trevor.
Like, do you see something like this having a home on the Hot 100?
Well, there's 100 songs to pick from, so yeah. there's always a chance, right? yeah, I do agree that I mean I'm not intimately familiar with her work, probably as much as you guys are, but I do. Yeah, there's a little more balance, a little more tempo to it. I think it could probably find a home on top 40. I think she's one of those people that especially with like Alaska and people, you know, sort of in the obviously virally saw what she was doing. I think top 40's maybe been like waiting for a song they could like grab onto.
Yeah.
And I think this definitely could be the one. I mean, obviously it's not, you know, incredibly high tempo or incredibly bouncy, yeah. but I think it could crack that lane open. And, you know, even overall pop music is a little more down than
right.
it has been in previous years. So I think this could be a big breakthrough for her, obviously with Greg and, you know, maybe those connections behind the scenes that could help as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's also kind of nice, kind of to the point, I think, that Jason said, this was 2 minutes ago, I'm going to think Jason said it,
that's fine.
That I always like that, you know, that even as a songwriter that you experiment with different lanes, different tempos, different types of sounds. I mean, even if it doesn't work, I think that obviously is ultimately your benefit. So I'm looking forward to this one. And even as somebody who didn't necessarily know her work, I liked the song when I heard it on New Music Friday. I was like, I could bop to this just on my own.
I could bop this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think bop is the operative word here. The BPM, you know, we're not in banger territory.
No.
I've seen her live and she's very good live too. So.
I have yet to. So
it's very solid. Yeah. I mean, it's good. I'm, you know, I think the not charts necessarily, but the radio is a little more open to kind of that slower groove late these days. I don't know if that's a post Despacito thing or what,
wow.
But yeah, it's good. I mean, I would love to hear it on the radio. I genuinely don't know if it'll happen, but like,
And I think also, you know, seasonally we're moving like again into that
pumpkin
blood
spice
orange
time.
Fall.
Yeah.
So
that's
I
true.
Think you don't necessarily need to be the song of the summer that has all this bounce to it. This could be like a fall winter kind of hit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember a couple years ago, very quickly. I remember when Shawn Mendes's Stitches hit in like September, October, and I was like, oh yeah, this is like the song of the fall. Like it was just like the perfect fall song.
It was a good fall song.
It's a good fall song. It's a breakup song. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, and it all comes full circle because Emily Warren wrote with Sean on that album, I think. I think she wrote on the handwritten album.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Anyways. All right, well, let's listen to it. Maggie Rogers' song is called Give a Little, and let's give a little listen. All right, that was new Maggie Rogers, and that's all we got this week. Thanks for tuning in. Nice, tight show. Yeah.
Yeah, I like this.
Are they normally not this tight?
There's usually some like explorations of, you know, like side stories and whatnot, but yeah.
It's usually Jason or Lindsay's fault.
yeah, that's absolutely true.
I have to ask randomly as I was trying to like surf through the things that had come out. Has anybody heard this new Fat Joe song?
No.
No, I was just talking to someone about Fat Joe yesterday, but I have not heard this new song.
It's a song with like, it's him, it's Chris Brown, and somebody else is on it. And the only thing that I really care about the song was when I first heard it, it's somehow, we need to like keep a scoreboard of songs that have not been like interpolated or reworked because it like bases like the first melody off What's Love Got to Do with It.
Wow.
Like the Tina Turner song.
I love that song.
Okay. Like,
one of my favorites.
Classic hit, but it feels so like, what in the world? How do you, like, who thinks, let's take this Tina Turner record and like, it's like the little like, you know, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Oh,
like,
that's cool.
That little intro part of it.
Oh man, I listen to that Private Dancer album so much.
It's
to this day.
It's a cosign. That's a classic.
It's so good.
But I almost wanted to bring it up, but I couldn't use one of my picks, but apparently maybe I should have switched out Swish based on this table.
No.
Maybe.
But,
I don't know. Yeah.
Disagree with that.
I was just hoping somebody would have heard that because I
haven't heard it though.
I
no, I should check it out.
Like, all right. That's a little post post-discussion wreck. I like
that. I don't know. Has anyone been watching Pose at all? Or
on FX?
I've not. It's really good. There was a very, very meaningful use of the Private Dancer song by Tina Turner in that.
Cool, man.
It's great. Anyways, all right. So heartily endorse Pose and heartily going to go check out Fat Joe. Okay. Thank you for listening, and we will catch you next time.
See you guys.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.